Welcome, Truth Seekers. Welcome to the Deep Dive. On behalf of the Great Awakening Report, we're really excited today. We're jumping into some truly powerful questions. We're drawing directly from the Truth Seekers Weekly Briefing Subscriber Q&A. This is the one for the week of August 22nd, 2025. And, you know, this isn't just any list of questions. It's really a glimpse into a community that's actively trying to cut through all the noise, looking for clarity in what they call an age of distortion.
Absolutely. And what's so compelling, and the briefing itself points this out, is how these questions are really designed to, well, connect the dots. They're aimed at giving you a bigger picture of what the source material calls the awakening process. And that's across some really key areas: media, politics, health, environment, even spirituality. It's mm-hmm. kind of a unique lens for looking at current events, urging you to look beyond just single incidents and see the underlying patterns.
Okay, so let's dive right in. Let's unpack this and see what fascinating nuggets of knowledge, what insights we can uncover. And I think you'll start to notice pretty quickly, actually, a strong theme running through everything. This idea of collapsing control systems alongside a real rise in sovereignty. Right, so let's start with the media. It's fundamental to how we get information right. The briefing kicks off with this question. What does Marisa Cabasa's scoop about the federal loan freeze reveal about the future of journalism, and why are independent voices suddenly outpacing mainstream media? And it highlights Cabas, you know, breaking this big news story from her apartment in Brooklyn. No big corporate backing. And she did it hours before, like, Washington Post even got there. The source presents this not as a one-off, but a real sign of a bigger shift.
Yeah, and the source really digs into the why behind that shift, the structural reasons. You've got legacy media, corporate ownership, layers of editors, bureaucracy, sometimes deep political ties. It's just slower, more rigid. It wasn't really built for the speed, and frankly, the transparency people demand now. Independent voices, though, they're nimble. They're transparent. They build these direct, sort of authentic connections with their audience. The source frames this as a big shift in trust, away from institutions, you know, towards individuals people feel are authentic.
Right. Authenticity is key.
Exactly. And for this community, it represents what they call information sovereignty, taking back control over your own information diet, basically, bypassing those old gatekeepers. The briefing doesn't mince words here. It calls decentralized journalism a direct challenge to what it labels propaganda machines. Hmm. And it sees Cabas's scoop as, well, proof that discernment and courage can pierce the veil faster than the official narrative. So the takeaway really is that agility, that authenticity, they're reshaping how truth emerges, often beating institutional power.
Okay. And building on that idea, the collapse of media control. The next question digs into another area where old structures are, well, crumbling. Local journalism. The briefing asks, how does the decline of local journalism contribute to disinformation and manipulation? And what does this mean for communities? I mean, historically, local papers were crucial, weren't they? Holding mayors accountable, school boards, local officials. Their collapse has created these huge news deserts. Millions of people left without reliable local news. That's a pretty big void.
It is, and it raises a really important question. What fills that vacuum? Well, the source talks about the rise of something called pink slime journalism. Yeah. These aren't just, you know, empty websites. They look like local papers, but they're secretly funded by political groups, designed specifically to push partisan messages, to manipulate opinion. It's pretty insidious, actually.
Wow. Disguised as local news.
Exactly. And at the same time, you've got social media becoming the main news source for so many. But its algorithms, well, they reward outrage, speed, sensationalism, often not truth or context. And this just fractures the public square, right? Pushes people into echo chambers, makes them really vulnerable to disinformation. So the briefing stresses that for truth seekers, this isn't just something to watch passively. It demands a choice. Either get swept up in it or actively sharpen your own discernment. Become a local observer yourself. The source concludes, sovereignty in media starts not only at the global level, but right at home, where truth begins. It really emphasizes personal engagement.
Okay, so from these big media shifts, let's bring our deep dive down to earth. Literally, let's talk environment. There's a critical question in the briefing. Are the recent extremes, California's heat wave, Milwaukee's floods, and sudden cold east of the Rockies, just natural, or signs of deeper environmental instability? The source talks about this triple shock, extreme heat, floods, sudden cold, as more than just, you know, weird weather. It's presented as a clear symptom of destabilized systems, and it points out how our cities, our infrastructure, designed for the 20th century. they're struggling with these 21st century extremes.
Right. And what's interesting is how the source approaches this. It acknowledges the science, you know, warming oceans, shifting jet streams, changes in polar currents. These are seen as drivers of this weather whiplash. But then it introduces an additional perspective, one that's common in the awakening community. The briefing states, and I'm quoting here, "Many in the awakening community recognize that weather is not only natural, it can also be engineered or amplified." It specifically mentions technologies like HARP and cloud seeding as being documented. And it suggests that the pattern of synchronized disasters across regions raises questions about manipulation.
So it's presenting both possibilities.
Exactly. It doesn't definitively say what the cause is. Instead, it focuses on the implication. Whether it's nature or human influence, these events demand a response. The message is clear. Resilience, adaptability, and conscious alignment are required. And on a deeper level, kind of symbolically, the briefing suggests Earth's storms mirror our own inner turbulence. It's a call to ground ourselves, prepare, adapt, spiritually as much as physically. You know, cultivating inner peace amid the outer chaos, seeing our inner work as connected to these global shifts.
That's a lot to think about, our connection to the planet, physically and spiritually. Okay, let's pivot now to a really pressing health question. This one's generated a lot of online buzz. Is fenbendazole really the hidden cure for brain tumors or just another overhyped internet trend? Fenbendazole, or FBZ, it's a veterinary drug, an antiparasitic. It got huge attention through the Joe Tippin story, then we'll find her with tons of online testimonials. It kind of represents that hope for a cheap, repurposed drug that might offer a new treatment path.
Right. And this story, as the source points out, is like a perfect case study in discernment. It really is. Because on one hand, there is a basis for hope. Lab studies do show FBZ messes with microtubules in cancer cells, which can cause apoptosis, programmed cell death. So, okay, the scientific possibility is there. But when you look specifically at brain tumors, the evidence is really thin, very limited. Unlike a similar drug, mebendazole or MBZ, that has been tested in glioblastoma trials, FBZ currently has zero controlled clinical studies in humans for brain tumors. None. Plus, there are other concerns. Pharmacokinetic studies suggest it's poorly absorbed orally, and it's uncertain if it even crosses the blood-brain barrier effectively. That's crucial for brain tumors. And there are safety flags, too. Case reports of liver injury and people self-medicating. Even some animal studies suggesting FBZ might, under certain conditions, actually promote liver tumors.
Oh, wow. Okay, so hope, but major caution.
Exactly. That's the source's message. Hope, yes, but with extreme caution. It encourages pursuing research, demanding transparency. But it explicitly warns against, you know, blind faith in miracle cures without solid evidence. It's finding that balance, right? Exploring possibilities, but grounding them in rigorous science.
That is such a powerful reminder. Approach everything with discernment. Okay, so for our final question, we're shifting into a more spiritual area. And this was pretty fascinating. Did the 144,000 threshold truly get reached? And what does the successful opening of the August 21st 12.21 portal mean for humanity? The source material says, yeah, that symbolic target of 144,000 meditators, it was reached. But maybe not by a literal headcount, more by resonance, like a vibrational alignment. Apparently, reports came in from, well, every continent, people describing intensified dreams, more synchronicities, vivid meditations, different communities synchronized for this event, creating what the source calls a global field of coherence, a unified energy field.
And participants describe this portal experience not as some physical opening, but more like a vibrational amplifier, something happening within consciousness. For many, it felt like a thinning of the veil, more awareness of subtle energies, spiritual realities. Also reports of accelerated manifestations, things happening faster, and heightened intuitive clarity. The source makes it clear that this wasn't, you know, fireworks in the sky. It was subtle but undeniable within consciousness, a deep internal shift for those participating.
So what does it mean, according to the source?
In spiritual terms, the briefing calls this activation a phase shift for humanity. It suggests higher dimensional codes were anchored into Earth's grid, like new energetic blueprints for growth. It mentions timelines collapsed, implying maybe less desirable potential futures were kind of closed off, and that humanity's trajectory got nudged toward unity. So for truth seekers, the work now is integration, grounding these new frequencies, these higher energies, through daily practices, breath work, meditation, connecting with nature. The idea is to make the portal's success a permanent step up, not just a fleeting moment, by living these shifts day to day.
Wow. Okay, so when we connect all these dots across these five quite different stories, right? journalism, environment, health, spiritual activation. A really powerful, clear pattern does emerge from the source material, doesn't it? This theme of collapsing control systems. And at the same time, this profound rise of sovereignty. It really does weave through everything.
It absolutely does. We saw traditional media control, well, crumbling, being replaced by independent voices, leading to more information sovereignty. We saw local accountability, the old system, collapsing. But that's pushing communities to wake up to their own discernment, to become local observers. Climate stability seems to be collapsing, challenging old ways, but humanity is awakening to the need for resilience, adaptation, both physical and spiritual. Medical anomalies are showing cracks, spurring people to awaken to alternative healing, to personal health sovereignty, demanding real evidence. And finally, that sense of spiritual disconnection seems to be dissolving, with events like the 12.21 portal suggesting collective intention can shift planetary timelines towards unity.
Yeah, the source sums it up so powerfully. The Great Awakening is not a single event. It is a multi-front transformation. Mm. It's describing these old institutions, narratives, systems built on control, just unraveling. And that's creating the space for humanity to rediscover its own sovereignty, its discernment, its unity. You know, the individual stories might seem separate, a journalist, weird weather, a controversial remedy, a global meditation, but connected, they tell one big story, humanity reclaiming its power.
And that naturally leads to the question for each of us listening. How do you navigate this personally? The Truth Seekers Weekly Wrap-Up actually offers some guidance here. Key pillars for awakening and a kind of personal code of mindset. The pillars are pretty practical. Let go of fear. Practice forgiveness and emotional clearing. Meditation and transformational breathing. Live with the heart of a volunteer. And the mindset questions are for like daily self-check-ins. Are you observing your thoughts or are they just running wild? Is your mental atmosphere vibrationally aligned? Like 50% or higher peace, gratitude. Can you feel that connection to your higher self, your inner guidance? Are you responding consciously with awareness or just reacting automatically? These aren't just theories, they're practices.
Right. And remember what the source material asks you directly. You're either outside acting in the movie or going within to watch it consciously. So think about everything we've unpacked today. Which role are you playing right now? Are you feeling pulled by fear? Or are you making a conscious choice to stay grounded in peace? Are you caught up in the external chaos? Or are you anchored in your own presence, your own awareness? Because the path out of what the source calls the matrix, moving into higher consciousness, it isn't just a one-time thing. It's presented as a daily choice, a moment-by-moment commitment to awareness, to sovereignty, to alignment. Keep connecting those dots. Keep asking the questions. And we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.